for this sermon that I'm going to give, I sent everybody on my email list an outline of it. Same thing that you're going to see here on the screen. And by the way, could you all turn off those back there, Coleman and Jim? Thank you. I sent them to you. But now, if you don't have a computer or you haven't given me your email address, you can either give me your email address. I put 20 of the handouts on the table in the lobby. So you can have those. So you don't have to worry about taking notes unless you just want to. So now, let's see. I can start the sermon. Can you, for those listening in, let me just apologize for the fact that I'm going to go quickly through these scriptures. This was a sermon given by Mark Mickelson. And I listened to it and I really liked the concepts that he had very much. So I took it. I did change some things more to fit with the way I do things. And actually, I sent them to him, and he liked it so much he's going to post it on my notes on his website. But it's just a concept that could go further than what we have. But for those listening in who don't have this, and we can post it actually when we put it on the church website, and if we put this sermon up there, if Bill and Jim allow that, and we can put my notes there where it says transcript, but you can actually just put the notes there too. Now, can you guess the title? It's The Oneness of God. And how is God one? Well, you better work. There we go. It is the Father who is the architect, but it is the Son who is the builder. That's from Mark Mickelson. And he liked that. I tried to say that how did they work together, that they were in harmony. And I put down that it's the Father who calls the tune, but the Son who sings it. Mark didn't like that as well as this. So I went back to this one. And he would have let me do what I want, but I respected his thought. The Father is the architect, the Son who is the builder. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, and this is why I'm apologizing to those at home, I'm just going to read it once. I and my Father are one. Now, how are they one? You know, the teaching in this world of the Trinity teaches that they're three in one. So are they the same being with three persons in the same being? We don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe in the Trinity. In John 14, verses 8 and 9. By the way, can you read that in back? Yeah, some say yeah. Okay, all the way back. Well, look, you're young. How about your father right on your left? Can he read that? No, he cannot. If I brought you to the front row, could you read it? Well, you might could. Mr. Fakuri. You can make it out. All right, I'll read it for you. Philip said to him, this was on the last night after the Passover, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And so how can you say, show us the Father? Yeah, there are at least 25 verses. If I go over 15 verses, I like to either show it PowerPoint or have a handout rather than have you turn. So that's why I'm doing it this way. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Well, I don't think they looked exactly alike. Jesus' face did not shine like the sun, and his hair was not snow white, I feel quite certain. They wouldn't have had to betray him if he looked like that. They would have all known who he was. But they're talking about something other. They're talking about character. They're talking about the same love. John 17, verse 11, this is Jesus' prayer, the longest prayer that we have of Jesus. All but the first half of the first verse is his prayer that night after the Passover. It says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father." Let me start there. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. So it's Church of God. That they may be one as we are. Now, if we are to be one, are we like the Trinity? No, we're not. What he means is we're to be in unity. And obviously we're separate. My wife and I are one flesh. But that's a spiritual thing. That's a figurative thing. And I'm actually able to walk away from her. We're not attached. But we are to be one. As the Father and Son are one. They're separate beings. So how are God the Father and Jesus the Son one? And going down, Jesus said that his Father was greater. So they're not, if they were exactly the same, like some sort of a trinity, but bi-entity, one wouldn't be necessarily greater than the other. So they're not one in the sense that is taught by the doctrine of the Trinity. They are one in the same way that we are to be one with them and with each other, as we just read in John 17, verses 20 to 23. That's what we just read the previous verse. And here in John 17, later in that prayer, and this is smaller, isn't it? It says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word," that's talking about us, "that they all may be one." Now we're to be one in the same way that the Father and the Son, Jesus, are one. "As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me." Now, that's an interesting concept. Notice, Jesus had said, and I gave a sermon, actually a lot of this came, the idea for this that Mark Mickelson had, he commented, as I recall, I gave a sermon here one time, why did Jesus have to go away in order that the Spirit may come? I gave that sermon some time ago. Mark said he listened to it 6 times. And I told him, well, if you figure out what I said, let me know. Because it's an interesting. Notice it says that they may be one as we are one. But notice this part. Remember Jesus said, if I don't go, the Spirit won't come. Well, God the Father could have sent us the Spirit without Jesus. But he chose not to do that. The Father works through the Son. And notice how we receive them to live within us. Them and you in me. See, if we have not the Son, we don't have the Father. So we must have the Son in us. And if the Son is living in us, then the Father is living in us. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have me. Okay. Keep taking my thumb off this button. A few. The five examples that Mark gave. There are other examples that I would have used, but I didn't put in this sermon. They work together, as we just read, in sending the Spirit to us. God sends the Spirit through His Son. They work together in preaching the gospel. Jesus said He came with a message from the Father. It was the Father who was the architect of the gospel, but it was the Son that brought it. But here are the five things that Mark brings out in his sermon. He probably would prefer I not mention his name so much. But see, if I go down, he goes with me. All right. If this is bad, if you say, what a dumb sermon. Number one, in creation. They work together. Two, in the resurrections. They work. Three, in judgment. Four, in redemption salvation. That's one category, redemption salvation, that number four. And five, in the kingdom. Or I might have said in rulership of the kingdom or leadership. Anyway, we will look at verses that show us how together in these areas. Okay, the first example he gave was creation. Notice, well, did I miss one? Yes, make sure I didn't miss two. Yep, just one. Here's the foundational scripture. This is my text for today. 1 Corinthians 8:6. This is the main verse. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. I have underlined, for those listening in, the word of. So, of whom are all things? All things are of the Father. And we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are things, and through whom we live. Now, these are the two points. That of the Father, all things are of the Father, and all things are through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And I want to look at that. The word of the Father is translated from the Greek word ex, sometimes spelled instead of ex, ek. The online Bible lexicon says this, quote, a primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds. From, out of place, or of time, or cause, literal or figurative preposition. Now, things that come out. What are some words that we have in English that we get from the Greek word ex? Exit. See? Right here in this building. Ex is the beginning. That's from the Greek. Exit. And Exodus, when they go out. So it's a word that we are familiar with. Now, when all things are ex the Father, it's out of the Father. It's of the Father. So that word of is ex. It's out of. It's from Him. All things are of the Father. The word through, where it is, all things are through the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is translated from the Greek word dia. The online Bible lexicon has a primary preposition denoting the channel of an act. You know, the word channel there is a good word, but I was hesitant to use it too much because somebody who's unbalanced is going to say, I believe in channeling. Well, the fact is, it's in the dictionary, it's a channel. I believe in channeling Jesus Christ and the Father. But usually when most people speak of channeling, they're channeling, they've got some demon that is helping them channel whatever they think they want. But in the King James Version, it's translated as by. All things are by the Son. Note, the definition uses the word channel, but we could also use the word conduit. I thought maybe that would be less somebody coming, Fred Keller believes in channeling. Yeah, well, if you're talking about Jesus Christ and the Father, I do believe in that. Now, we use that word a lot. But mostly in technical, scientific terms. If you go to the dictionary and you look up D-I-A, dia, you'll find a lot of words, but they aren't words that we commonly use. They're words that scientists might use for different things. One word that you might know, that uses dia, is diagonal. That is through the angle. Diagonal means through the angle. And so that's one of the few places. So things are from or of the Father, but through the Son. And we look at those examples. In all that the Father and Son do, it is of the Father and through the Son. We'll start with creation, first of the five. The creation is of the Father and through the Son. Now, you know, there are two verses we're going to look at that seem contradictory. And we'll look at first, I want to set it up. Creation is of the Father because it is of His will. But He did it through His Son. In the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we see the throne room of God. In chapter 5, Jesus the Lamb comes before the Father. But we're introduced to the Father's throne room in chapter 4, before the Lamb gets there. The four living creatures and 24 elders praise the Father in chapter 4. In their praise, they say that He created all things. Revelation 4, verse 9 to 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things. Who created all things? The Father. But notice what it says. And by Your will, they exist and were created. Notice it was by His will. Now who created all things? The Father. Now how does that stack up with this verse? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through, there's that Greek word dia, whom also He made the worlds. So the Father created all things, but it was through the Son, through whom He also made the worlds. Colossians 1, verse 15 and 16. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Something we bring up Pentecost time. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through, there's that Greek word, dia, him, and for him. I think that's interesting. Creation, God the Father is the one who is the architect. But he made his son the builder, and he's giving him the house. Because even though God the Father will always be God the Father, he's created this kingdom and making his son the king. Now here's the second point. The resurrection is of the Father and through the Son. So we're going to look at creation, now the resurrection, his second point. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So he who raised Christ from the dead will give us life. Who is giving us life? The one who raised Jesus from the dead. That's the Father. Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father. He will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, should be which, dwells in you. That's the Spirit of the Father. How do we get the Spirit of the Father? By receiving the Spirit of the Son. Got to have the Spirit of the Son to get the Spirit of the Father. Oh, you can't read all this, can you? Mm-mm. Can any of you in the back read that? Yes, okay. Very good. Even in that back room back there. John 6, verse 37 through 40. John 6, verse 37 through 40. All that the Father gives me, notice that. Jesus doesn't choose them himself. We've mentioned that often. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So the Father's intimately involved in drawing people to Jesus. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He's a messenger who was sent. Verse 39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Notice who's raising people up at the last day. He's going to call forth his voice. They will hear his voice and come forth. Has that in John 5, but I don't think I quoted it. Verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, I went the wrong way. Now, here's the third aspect. The judgment is of the Father and through the Son. And there's some verses that seem contradictory. Who is the judge? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 says the Father is the judge. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So who judges? The Father judges according to each one's work. Well, how does that stack up with John 5, verse 22 and 23? For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now, you probably already know how we're going to put those two verses together. Verse 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Who's in charge? Who calls the tune? It's the Father who sent him. The Greek word for judges is krino, and it's a broad word. And broad in its meaning. It can mean to judge. Well, we have a jury usually that does the judging. We have a man called the judge, but he usually doesn't do the judging in our system. The ones who judge are actually decide guilt or innocence, unless the people say we want a judge to figure it out. And skip having a jury trial. But normally it's the jury. And the judge just guides the jury. But the jury makes the decision. So that's judgment. However, it can mean to pronounce sentence. Now that's usually the judge, although sometimes even the jury does that in some things in some states. But that's a separate thing. First is deciding guilt or innocence. Then pronouncing sentence. In other words, you will go to jail for 10 years or whatever it is. Or krino can also mean to execute the sentence. And we usually have some people at a prison that execute the sentence. Sometimes if it's death, they actually call it execution. They execute the sentence. But even if it's just hauling him off to jail for 10 years, they're executing the sentence. So it's three different aspects. But krino can mean any one of those three or all of those three, and you can only tell by the context. Only by context can you tell what it means. God the Father does not judge in the sense that he does not pronounce the sentence. But the Son makes all judgments by the guidelines established by his Father. So the Father's judging through the Son. He's still judging, but he's doing it through his Son. Notice Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he, that's the Father, will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. See, the Father is still judging, but he is not personally standing there saying, you go to the left, you go to the right, you go into the lake of fire, you go into the kingdom. But the Son is doing it by what God has ordained. God told him how to judge. So the Son is perfectly capable of judging exactly the way the Father tells him to. So in that way, the Father is judging. And in another way, he doesn't judge anybody but lets the Son. But the Son does it exactly as the Father has told him. So once again, it is of the Father, but through the Son. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Acts 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he, that's Jesus, who was ordained by God. Who did it? It's of the Father, ordained by God, to be judge of the living and the dead. So the Father is calling the tune, and the Son is doing the singing. I like that. But Mark likes God's the architect and the Son's the builder. Okay. Here it's another aspect where they work together. Redemption and salvation are of the Father and through the Son. Now, this is something I think everybody knows. Our Christians, all Christians, all people who think they're Christians or are Christians. Here's John 3, verses 16 and 17. I think you know this verse. I think the people in the churches across the street, wherever, they all know this verse, don't they? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, who is this of? It's of the Father. He, the Father, gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through, the Greek word is dia, him might be saved. So it's of the Father through the Son. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Can you see, by the way, why I'm doing this through PowerPoint and not having you turn? And some of you are falling asleep anyway. Maybe if I had you turn, you'd stay awake, right? JR has one eye open, so I just want you to know. He has his right eye is open, his left one is shut. After a little bit, he'll shut his right one and open his left one. So, Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, actually his left eye was mostly closed. I was not just joking, it was mostly closed. He had his right eye open because his wife's right there. He's looking at her. See? She's much better than this screen, isn't she? JR just said, you got that right. Okay. Good. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, this is speaking of Jesus. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. This is interesting. This is not just the Father doing something through the Son. This is us going, the Father works through the Son toward us. But we're able to go to the Father through Jesus. So this conduit, this channel works both ways. We go directly to the Father through him. And the Father comes to us through him. Since he always, the Greek word dia, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is the conduit or channel through which God's redemption and salvation flow to us, and he is the conduit or channel through which we can go to our Father. That's why we pray in his name. The kingdom. Isn't this the fifth one? Think so. The kingdom is of the Father and through the Son. Matthew 26, verse 29. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Whose kingdom is the kingdom? The kingdom is the kingdom of God. And it's the Father's kingdom. And one day the Father will come down and Jesus will deliver it up to him. But Jesus will always be the king of the kingdom. So you say, well, who's the really in charge? Because Jesus is the king of the kingdom. That Jesus actually called the Father his God. That's interesting. Jesus, the Word, who is God, told Mary Magdalene in John 20, I think it's verse 17, 16 or 17, said, I go to my Father and your Father. He said, touch me not, or don't cling to me, because I've not yet ascended to my Father. But I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Jesus very willingly submits. Luke 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God the Father is intimately involved. That's another sermon he gave called Children of God, which I also want to give. So you can fall asleep through that one too. So let me just check over here. Okay. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, if we had popcorn, you could stay awake. But you know something, the problem? They don't want us eating here. Although I notice sometimes little babies are eating. But that's just what babies are allowed. Matthew chapter 20, verse 23. These are where the two brother, or the mother came and said, sons of Zebedee, I'm asking Jesus that you grant me my wish, what I'm asking. He said, well, what is it? Allow my sons, one to sit at your right hand and the other at the left. And Jesus answered this way. So he said to them, he said, can you drink of the cup that I will drink of? And they said, yes, we're able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. He means persecution and death. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Let me tell you, I don't need to sit on his left hand or on his right hand. I don't have to be at the head table. If I'm in the room, things have gone well. I've sat at the head table at times, and where the pastor general called me from the back and said, come up and sit here at this table. And David John Hill did that once at the feast, called me up. No thrill, especially at the head table sometimes is lined up, just a long table in front of everybody. We don't do that anymore, I'm so glad. And, you know, there's nobody across the table from you. Everybody on these other tables. So you only can talk to people right beside you. It's much better to be at a table where you're way off in the back somewhere and you're all chatting and laughing and carrying on and people aren't looking at you. To sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Now I've wondered this. Will the Father announce himself? Or will that be another thing where he will do it through his son? He will tell his son, son, here is who I have chosen to be at your right hand and at your left. And so will Jesus tell them, the Father has chosen you to sit at my right and you to sit at the left. We're certainly going to be able to talk to the Father and he'll talk to us. But he has just chosen to do so much through his companion. his eternal companion. All right, boy, this is another tiny one. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming with the clouds of heaven, that's Jesus. He came to the Ancient of Days. Jesus called himself the Son of Man because he was born of Mary. And he had a grandfather and a grandmother and a great grandfather, a couple of great grandfathers, a couple of great grandmothers. So he called himself the Son of Man often. He also called himself the Son of God because he was both. But he came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Then to him, this is Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's the Father giving it to Jesus. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. So notice, it's the Father giving the kingdom to the Son. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. You realize in the front row that I'm coming in after services just to see what you're writing. They're doing something. They're writing something. So now which one of you, are you taking scriptural notes or are you doing drawings? That's what I thought. Both of you? You're both Neither one of you are taking notes. Yeah, that's move away. Actually, the next row behind, although I don't blame you for sitting right there. I mean, if I were your age, I'd be wanting to sit right where you're sitting. Is that girl cute? Huh? You're not going to answer? A gentleman would say, she is beautiful. Yes, very good. Okay. That's what a gentleman would say. A gentleman would say there are four beautiful girls in the front, but you know, maybe you don't want to say that. So, okay, Ephesians 5:5. I'm glad you're sitting in the front row. It may be the last time I realize that you want to do that when I'm speaking. For this you know, for Ephesians 5:5, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance, and notice this, in the kingdom of Christ and God. Notice it calls one Christ, the anointed, and the other God. So, I'll have to check. I can't think where the Father is ever called the King. So it may be always Jesus is the King and his Father is called the God of the kingdom. So we'll see. I haven't checked that out. But it's the kingdom of Christ and God. John 14 verses 19 through 24. And I've only put half of the verses on this slide. John 14 verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. How do we go to the Father? He's in the Father. We are in him. So he says, and I in you. And we read earlier that the Father is in him. So it is through Jesus that we go to the Father. Now, we're not cut off from the Father. I mean, he knows every hair on our heads. He loves us. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. God does love us. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, this is part of the, when I gave that sermon on, if I go not to the Father, you'll not receive the Spirit. I forget, I'm not quoting it exactly. But that was one of the verses I'm sure I used. Verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Okay. The Father and Jesus are one. Because, how we started that out, the oneness of God, how are they one? Are one because Jesus always follows the leadership of the Father, whom he also called my God. And I mentioned that, John 20. Jesus said that he could do nothing without the Father. Interesting. He could do nothing without the Father. And also said that we can do nothing without the Son. This was not part of Mark's. I added this. Mark didn't complain when he saw it. John 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. This is how they're one. They're not one being, they're two separate beings. And in John 15, verse 5, I think this is the last verse that I have in here. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Now that's how we are one, if we are letting Jesus live within us, and therefore the Father live within us, and we are letting them guide and direct us. And that will include directing us to unity, not division. Now this should be the last. There we go. Conclusion. Wow. Okay, I can start the slideshow of the grandchildren then.